The fruit of the Spirit is the natural product of a life yielded to God's control. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell explains God's process for growing spiritual fruit in our lives.
My friend, God is being patient with you today, but don't despise that. He is being gentle with you today, but don't take that for granted. He is doing this so that you will come to Him, so that you will repent of your sin and turn to Jesus as your Savior. Don't take for granted the long suffering of God.
Every believer has the capacity to bear the fruit of the Spirit. In our series, Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows, we will learn how to experience the fruit of the Spirit in our daily lives. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you want to learn how to have peace in the midst of a storm, how to keep joy when depression comes, how to practice patience through difficulty, and how to love the unloved, then this series is for you. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Gentleness Grows Where the Stream Flows.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and here's the next word. It is the word gentleness. Let's say it together, gentleness. Now, what do you think of when you hear the word gentleness? How many of you think of the word dentist? I don't put those two together. When I think of a dentist, I think of barbarians, pain, infliction of pain. When I hear the word gentleness, I do not immediately equate it with a word like dentist. I might equate it with a word like mom. Mom's had a way of being gentle and encouraging when things weren't going just right. Paul the Apostle said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 that he was gentle as a nursing mother with the new Christians. He was a gentle minister as well as being a strong preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Webster defines gentleness as being generous or kind. Benjamin Franklin often tried to encourage his children to be gentle and kind. He once said, "I will speak ill of no man, not even in the matter of truth, but rather excuse the faults I hear and, upon proper occasions, speak all the good I know of everybody." That was Benjamin Franklin's desire, to be gentle, to be a gentle man. Now, we don't see much in the way of gentleness in America today. This is sort of a dog-eat-dog kind of a society. People are constantly looking for a way to take advantage of the next person. People are angry. People are going to get even. People are vindictive. People are anything but gentle. Isn't it amazing to think about the needs in our society and in our own lives today? You see, gentleness, or some ways we could say it, kindness, gentleness is the fruit that will make or break your Christian testimony. It is the fruit that will make or break our testimony. And gentleness is hard to find because Romans chapter 3 says that all of us have sinned. All of us have a sinful nature. It's not our norm to be gentle. It's not our norm to be kind. Our normal response is to go out and get even. Well, I want to speak to you this morning about this word, gentleness. And I want you to see with me this morning, in the first place, the example of gentleness. When you think about someone who is an example in gentleness, there was someone far greater than mom, far greater than the best illustration you could ever conceive, and that someone is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to speak to you for a moment about a wonderful, gentle, loving, and kind Savior. And I want you to think about Jesus with me. I want you to think for a moment about the character of Jesus Christ. Think about His character. And turn, if you would, in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2. Here the Apostle Peter is reminding us about how gentle and loving Jesus was. And he says in these verses, "For even hereunto," 1 Peter 2:21, "for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." How many of you are thankful that Jesus never sinned? That's why he was the perfect atonement for our sin. But look at verse 23. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. When Jesus was reviled, he reviled not again. All the way up the hill of the skull, Jesus was spat upon. People ridiculed him. People made fun of him. Even after the nails were driven into his hands and his feet, even after Jesus was suspended up between heaven and earth, the Bible tells us that men cursed at him and reviled him. One said, if you're the Son of God, then take yourself down from this cross. No one could imagine the hurtful things that were said to Jesus as he died for my sin and for your sin. Yet when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When people said unkind things, he did not revert back to their unkind ways. The Bible says that he is our perfect example and that we are to follow in his steps. The character of Jesus is an impeccable, perfect character that all of us can follow because he was a gentle and a wonderful Savior. He could have called 10,000 angels to take him away, and he could have snuffed the lives of those who ridiculed him. But in his gentle, loving kindness, he reviled not again. The character of Jesus. Oh, that each of us today could be a little more like him. That each of us, as we are filled with the Spirit of God, could bear this fruit of gentleness. Notice not only the character of Jesus this morning, but notice the compassion of Jesus. The compassion of Jesus. You see, in his kindness, he offered salvation even to those who were crucifying him. Think of that. Even as he died on the cross, he had you and he had me on his mind. There's no one in this world today that Jesus does not want to see saved. You say, what about the Islamic man who hates Jesus Christ, who hates Christians? Jesus loves even him. What about the man or the woman today who denies him and who despises him? Jesus loves even them. Titus 3 and verse 4 says, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. It's by his kindness, it's by his mercy that he came to die for our sin and that he saves us from our sin. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 and verse 7 that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Sometimes people have this view of God that he's a hateful God. Oh, he's a God of truth. He is a God who will bring final judgment to this world. But make no mistake about it, my friend. God is not a God of hate. God is love. And God is a gentle God. He's a long-suffering and a patient God. And the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. God is a gracious God. God says, I want to save you, even though you don't deserve to be saved. Grace is undeserved favor, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Jesus Christ loved you, and he loved me so very much that even when we deserved a Christless hell, even when we deserved eternal separation from him, even then God loved us and he reached down and he set our feet upon a rock and he brought us up out of that miry clay and he gave our life a reason for living. For by grace we are saved. It's not that I deserve to go to heaven. It's not that Paul Chappell is such a good man. It's that Jesus Christ is such a wonderful Savior. It's by grace that you were saved. And it's because you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that Jesus was gentle. I'm glad that Jesus was patient. I'm glad that Jesus is such a kind and a wonderful Savior. Romans 2 and verse 4 says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance? My friend, God is being patient with you today, but don't despise that. God is being forbearing with you today. He is being gentle with you today, but don't take that for granted. He is doing this so that you will come to Him, so that you will repent of your sin and turn to Jesus as your Savior. Don't take for granted the long suffering of God. If you are a Christian away from God, don't take for granted that He is gentle. He wants you to turn around and come back to Him today. Dr. John Getz was preaching here a few years ago. He said on one occasion, he was very bad in school and had broken a rule. He said he came home and he figured the teacher probably had called his parents. He said after a little while, his dad said to him, "John, I want you to meet me out at the barn." Now, if you grew up on a farm and your dad wanted an appointment in the barn, that's not a very good sign. And he said, "I went out to the barn to see my dad. And when I got out to the barn, he was standing there with tears flowing down his face. And he said, 'John, what you did today broke my heart.' He said, 'My dad didn't spank me.' He said, 'I wish he would have. But his gentleness towards me and the fact that I broke his heart truly spoke to me that day.' My friend, if you're away from God and he's being gentle towards you, don't continue to break his heart. Turn back to him today. Oh, may I say that the greatest picture of gentleness, the greatest example of gentleness that you will ever know is Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. But notice secondly this morning, the expressions of gentleness. The expressions of gentleness. We are saying this morning that when a man is born again, he is born again by the Spirit of God. When he is born again, the Holy Spirit comes into his life. Jesus said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." So when someone has the Holy Spirit in them, there is fruit that will flow through their life. The Spirit of God will allow fruit to grow. And this fruit today is called gentleness. Now, how will that fruit blossom? When the orange tree blossoms, the expression is seen in a beautiful white flower that smells beautifully. When the apricot tree blossoms, the expression is seen in a beautiful pink flower with a wonderful fragrance. But what will be seen in your life? What will be the fragrance of your life when you are filled with the Spirit of God? How will your life bring joy, and how will your life bring a wonderful sweet smell to the place where you work, to the home where you live? I want you to see, first of all, someone who is filled with the Spirit, they will express gentleness through their sensitivity. They will be a very sensitive person. They will be a very tender person. There will be a heart that is sensitive. You see, my friend, no matter how many scriptures you have memorized, no matter how many convictions you possess, if you do not have kindness, it doesn't matter. And there are many today who are proud of their scripture knowledge. They are proud of their convictions in a wrong way. God is not as interested in all of the things you know as He is in the heart you have towards Him and towards others. Sometimes we live in a day when people are very insensitive, even in their relationships. I heard of a young lady recently who said, "My parents want me to get married, and they don't care who I marry as long as he doesn't have an earring." How many parents understand that? She said to her friend, "I think men who have pierced ears are better prepared for marriage. They've already experienced pain and they've bought jewelry." Now, I'm not an advocate of men wearing earrings. That's another sermon. But I'll tell you this right now. I don't think it's a very sensitive spirit when we want to inflict pain on those with whom we relate to. I think it should be just the opposite. In fact, notice in Philippians 2:4, it says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others." Let's say that together, shall we? Ready to begin. "Look not every man on his own things." I believe as God works in your heart a work of gentleness, there will be a sensitivity. Husbands, when was the last time that you really thought about the burdens of your wife? I mean, on the way home from work, you thought, "I wonder how it was with the kids. I wonder how it was getting things taken care of at home today. I wonder how her health is. I wonder how my children are doing in school. When was the last time that you were just being sensitive towards your husband and thinking of his hard day or his difficulty? Or boys and girls here this morning, when was the last time you really thought about how hard your dad works or how much your mom helps? Or when was the last time you thought about it's not easy for them maybe to pay for your school tuition or your books or your clothes? I'm simply saying a spirit-filled Christian has a gentleness that is seen with a sensitive, sensitive heart. When was the last time you wrote your Sunday school teacher a thank you note? Say, well, they call me every time they miss me. Sometimes they pester me. They're writing me. They're calling me. Hey, when was the last time you thought about them and said, dear Mr. Teacher, thanks for caring so much. Thanks for writing me a letter. Thanks for being there when I needed you. I'm saying that when the Spirit of God is working in your heart, you're not just thinking about yourself. You're thinking about other people. The Bible says, look not every man on his own things, but also on the things of others. And our desire as Spirit-filled Christians is to be sensitive one towards another. One man said to his friend, very few things upset my wife. It makes me feel rather special to know that I am one of them. Now, this guy's missing the point. Our desire is not to irritate one another. It is to be sensitive to one another, to think about one another, not only through sensitivity, but secondly, through sympathy. I believe we will express gentleness by being sympathetic one towards another. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Now, let me help you with something this morning that perhaps you already know, but everybody here today has a burden. Everybody. Everybody here this morning is bearing something. Various different types of burdens that are beyond my comprehension. And I think this morning of this fact that the people seated in the row where you are seated right now have something that's heavy on their heart today. Everybody in this world today has a burden, and the commonality of the human race besides sin is the burden that sin brings in the form of physical pain and family trial and difficulty. And when you are filled with the Spirit and bearing the fruit of gentleness, then you will show sympathy for those going through that difficult time. Not only sensitivity, not only sympathy, but thirdly, I believe you'll express your gentleness through straightforwardness. Now, this is a little different thought, but stay with me and put your thinking cap on. You see, gentleness is not weakness. Gentleness is not weakness. Sometimes when you love someone, you're going to have to be straightforward with them. Here's a verse for you, Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Let's say it together. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. There will come a time in your marriage when you must care enough to confront someone that you love. There will come a time in raising your children when you must care enough to confront someone that you love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. No one likes to hear the truth at times when they're erring in their way, but that wound is necessary. Just like the wound that is caused to take the cancer out, that wound may hurt for a moment, but it is needful to get the cancer out. And if you think being gentle means to be passive, while your children come home at 2 and 3 in the morning from partying, while your spouse is going away that is against the word of God, if you think that is gentleness, then you misunderstand gentleness. Gentleness is not weakness. It is strength under control. And it is having the ability, Ephesians 4, to speak the truth in love. To say, I love you so much that I've got to tell you that what you're doing, I believe to be wrong according to the word of God. That's why in being a person that is straightforward, sometimes you must be straightforward with your family. And sometimes as a husband or a father or a wife or a mother, you've got to be straightforward. And yes, you're doing it in love, but you're speaking out because you care for their future. I believe we as Christians need to be straightforward with those who are serving in governmental places today. Now, I mean by this that If you think being a Christian means being some passive, uninvolved kind of a person that never speaks up for what is right, then you are misunderstanding gentleness today. When you care about something, and we ought to care about America, then you will speak up and you will let people know. Sometimes gentleness must be straightforward, to speak the truth in love, to call an elected official, to let them know where you stand on an issue. And so expressions sometimes will be straightforward. And then finally, our expressions should be spontaneous, through spontaneity. Say, where do you come up with that? Notice, if you would, Galatians 6:10. Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let's read that verse together, shall we? Ready, begin. As we have, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them. Now we're talking about expressing gentleness. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Listen, you don't need to wait for the church's visitation program to visit somebody. You don't need to wait for the church's program to bake a pumpkin pie for a widow. As you have opportunity, the Lord brings it to your mind, in kindness, express that to someone. Here's someone who has a need. See the need and take the lead and let God use you to make a difference in someone's life. Look, you don't have to wait for some formal program to make the pastor a pumpkin pie. All right, just making sure you're awake, all right? What I'm saying today is simply this. The Bible commands us, when we have opportunity, let's do good to everybody. It may be as little as opening a door. It may be as something as telling the janitor at work, you know what, you do a good job. It may be something just telling your kids when they bring home a C instead of an F. Son, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm proud of you. You're doing better. It may be as simple as saying, son, I'm so glad you didn't get a demerit at school today. Some of you say, Pastor, as soon as he doesn't get one, I'll say it to him. But when you have opportunity, take it. Help someone by being a blessing. You see, Jesus is our example in gentleness. And when Jesus is in your life, it will be expressed. There will be fruit growing where the stream is flowing. And the stream is the Holy Spirit. And when he is in you, there will be fruit that will be forth coming from your life each and every day. Notice finally this morning, the empowerment of gentleness. The empowerment of gentleness. Now sometimes people say, well, Pastor Chappell, what you're saying is so true. And I really wish I was that way, but it's just not in my DNA to be this kind of a guy. I know that. Because you have a sick DNA. You have Adam's DNA. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Some people say, well, that's just not the way I am. That's right. That's why we're here today. Now we got to first base. Way to go. None of us on our own merit are going to ever be kind the way we should be. That's why we need to yield to the Holy Spirit within us. So how do we have the power, the strength, to be this way? First of all, we are empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the what? It doesn't say the fruit of the church. It doesn't say if you walk through a church once a week, you will be gentle, kind, peaceful, and joyous every day of your life. It doesn't say it's the fruit of the church. It doesn't say it's the fruit of the baptistry. It is not the fruit of some organization. It is the fruit of the living God who lives inside of believers. The fruit of the Spirit. That's why Ephesians 5:18 is so important. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Why do you emphasize being filled with the Spirit? Because in your own DNA, in your own flesh, you cannot show forth gentleness. You cannot show forth love and peace. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, then you can live out this life. I believe as you are empowered by the Holy Spirit, you can live this life out in your home. And that's really the baseline. That's where it really begins. Living this Christian life. It begins with our family.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California.
This broadcast is a listener-supported program that exists because of prayers and donations from people just like you. If you make a donation to Daily in the Word, Pastor Chappell would like to send you a copy of his newest book, Paid in Full, as a thank you for your support of our ministry. Thank you for your help in spreading the good news throughout the world.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.